or right live on BBS at 5:55 on this Monday evening, 11/27/17. Welcome to this episode of another wind-free hour, from which I do not know the topic of tonight yet. I believe we have a caller in here already. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Positive greetings from California.
Hello, May. Positivity to you, my dear friend. How are you?
Is it just the internet people and us?
Yes.
All right. We'll have the foursome hour when the other two show up.
Yes. Well, welcome, May.
Welcome. Thank you for being here, Heis.
Equally with you. Thank you for participating.
As often as I can.
All right. Yeah, for me the same.
I think you said it was the Whole Life Expo or something in L.A. that's happening?
Yes.
What is that?
That is like a very popular, very well-known for many years already, a Conscious Life Expo. It's about New Age stuff, you know?
Have you been to one before?
No, I have not.
What's it cost to get in? that much?
Well, it is fairly cheap if you look at it, but you just pay per, you know, whatever you want to do there. Like, to get in is fairly cheap, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you want to partake in those workshops or conferences and things like that, then you have to pay for those things.
Uh-huh. Is Kimberly the only one you're going to be seeing?
The funny thing is, I brought up to her that I will go, that I'm planning on going there.
Mm-hmm.
Just call me immediately. She said, you will be my 8th volunteer. And because I said it in my email, like, I want to help you wherever I can, whenever I can.
Aww.
And she said, please be my 8th volunteer. She wants to do 8 volunteers. And so, but a full ticket, she's going to take care of a full ticket for me. That is $795.
Oh, my God.
And then you partake in anything you want from the beginning till the end.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Am I lucky or what?
You work very hard at your luck, so you make your luck. You deserve it. You've earned it.
More caller joined in. Good evening to you. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane. Cleo from Connecticut.
I hear Cleo and I hear Jane. Welcome, both.
That's right. Thank you.
All right. More people joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Dr. Ronald Drucker, Davie, Florida.
Hello, Mr. Drucker. Dr. Drucker, thank you so much for being here tonight with us.
Oh, likewise.
I've heard a lot of good stuff about you from Wynn, and I'm excited to have you on tonight with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Great. Let me welcome who else joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
Thank you for being here. And I welcome all those that are listening in through BBS Radio online. Thank you for participating. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Dr. Ron Drucker is with us already, Terry.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Terry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic.
Lynn just wants to sign on.
All right. Welcome to those that just joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings from Sedona. Hi.
Hello, Ray, and welcome.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Who else
joined in? Please say your name and location.
Regular greetings
Hello.
From Northern Ohio. It's Don. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Don.
Hi, Don.
Greetings back to you, my friend.
Yes. Anna, Kent, Washington.
Hi, Anna. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
Did I miss anyone? If so, please say name or location. All right. Dr. Director, you're calling with the 954 area code, correct?
Yes, I am.
Yes, all right. As you are not, you have not called in as a moderator, we can. I'll make sure that I unmute you after we mute the lines.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. And as we know, Vinny will be here just in a moment. He is dialing into the show. And welcome to all those that are listening in online through BBS Radio. I want to mention the Hope Healing Call. Let me first welcome the next person. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. Hi, everybody.
All right. So the Whole Planet Healing Call is the website wholeplanethealing.com. And then you find the phone number to call in, which is at 7 p.m. Pacific every day. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Susan in Virginia.
Hello, Susan. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wynn.
Hi, Wynn. Good evening.
Good evening. Is Terry here?
Yes.
Terry? Hello, Terry.
I'll turn over the things. Terry just came back in. She dropped out. Hi, Terry.
Hi, hi.
You sound in the background. Can you move your mic?
Yeah, give me a minute. Okay.
All right. So, however, Terry's here. The things are off. I'm mute the phone lines. And Dr. Ron Drucker is with us as well, Wynn.
Okay.
He is not a moderator, so I will unmute him after I mute the phone lines.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is November 27th, 2017, when in Terry in Sedona, everybody everywhere, and we're going to do a session tonight on, I think it comes under the subheading of how the Elohim created the universe. And am I recording? Yeah. And I want to go ask him some questions about the fine points of DNA. Some of you might remember some time ago, we did a session and the topic was sex and how sexual urges and how the whole chemistry of sex worked. And that was my idea. And then they went into a long discussion about amoebas and how they didn't use the word DNA. But when I read it over, I said, they must be referring to DNA because they were talking about how they were coding the amoeba and how they finally had the amoeba how can I say it? Duplicating themselves. So there is a huge amount to DNA. It's the blueprint for how a body grows. And it's the receiving energy for the vibrations of the universe. And it's somewhat of a mystery, and probably even to scientists, but we're going to see if we can solve some of it tonight. And before we start, I wanted to introduce Dr. Ron Drucker. And Ron, are you there? Let's see if I hear you.
Yes, Gwen, I'm right here.
Yeah. Some of you have heard me mention him, and we're going to do a show with him in the very near future. He is, he's actually officially a chiropractor, but he has studied alternative stuff for many years. And he has some very unusual ways of fixing things and fixing things in the body. And Terry is really impressed with some of the things that he's recommended to her, and she's seen it work. And Ron, what would you like to say about yourself?
Oh, well, I would just like to say, since I was 19 years old, I've been looking for the quote-unquote cures for diseases, or at least prevention of illness, or both, because I realized early on that medicine was good at emergencies, generally speaking, but was terrible at chronic illness. And, you know, when you're 19, you think you can do anything. So I said, well, if they're not going to figure it out, I will. 25 years later, I came up with the help of other scientists, these immune modulators, which literally heal the immune system. Now, if you have a healed immune system, it's going to protect you against virtually every disease you think of, and it's also going to help to heal your body of almost any disease. There are, you know, obviously some incurable people, and there's going to be a few exceptions to the rule. But in general, that's what it does. It literally heals your immune system. And that's what I've been working on now for 24 years.
And there's something very unusual about Ron, and that is, at a certain point, he decided he was just going to help people, not charge them for it. And somehow, he got his life together where he could afford to do that and just be of service to people. So, some of you who are going through health issues, don't miss the call I'm going to do with Ron. I'll be sure and send an email out. And I'm planning on maybe doing a workshop for a few hours after the call, and people can discuss their own issues and have Ron share what he would do to fix it, okay? To make Al his product and other products, other things that I know he's very knowledgeable. We have been talking now ever since he started to work with Terry, and we've actually kind of become kind of friends. And he's coming on tonight because he's going to listen. We're going to do this a channeling session, and Ron is going to listen in. Okay, so just as you all know, I tell people, don't believe anything. Evaluate it by the vibration and the knowledge and see if it makes sense. And of course, those of you who have been listening to our calls for a long time have noticed the continuity of the information and the point of view. And, you know, I usually say it's the Elohim in short when I announce it. But in fact, the source that identifies itself to us, for a long time it was just the Elohim. And the Elohim were answering all kinds of questions about the most sophisticated metaphysical stuff that a lot of times cross-referenced with other information. And then we had been in the early stages of my being introduced to this when they started talking to me. It happened during the period I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And in that book, the source that was talking to Wilcock identified itself as Ra. And Ra was explaining itself, or himself, I guess itself, as a group energy comprised of millions of individual souls that graduated this realm, or in Buddhist terminology, got off the wheel of reincarnation. And of course, everyone who has ever studied any theology or metaphysical stuff has heard the term get off the wheel of reincarnation. But it's no one has ever solved the mystery of, well, what happens to you when you get off the wheel of reincarnation? What is it like in the other dimensions? And the Ra group was explaining that they were huge membership of souls that got off the wheel of reincarnation that grouped together on the other side to work with planetary populations who were still going through reincarnation. And they indicated that they had been involved with our planet for thousands and thousands of years, maybe tens of thousands. And that they had given some of the ways they have intervened in this realm. And so, mostly, we were talking to the Elohim in the initial phases of this. But occasionally, there were situations where the voice identified itself as, I am Ra. And when that first happened, I'm very skeptical. I'm saying, how do I know this is Ra? I had already studied Ra, not just through Wilcox, but through another woman who had channeled Ra for 3 years and came out with 5 books. And but I went along with it, and it felt congruent. And then at a certain point, maybe 5 years ago, Terry, you think it was 5 years ago that Ra'an came into the picture? Hello, Terry. Calling Terry.
Yeah, it seems like a real bit.
It seems like about 5 years ago?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the source re-identified itself. In fact, I remembered when this happened. They were talking to Terry before some call we were going to do. And the source, they were telling Terry, we have a surprise for you tonight. And they wouldn't tell her what
it was.
Yeah,
they wouldn't tell me. They wouldn't tell me anything about it. And if they want to keep a withhold, they sure know how, because they don't let out. Like a human, you can read their mind to some degree, but not the Elohim.
Yeah. So on that call, they said they made an affiliation with part of the Ra group, and that when they would be present, they called themselves Ra'an, and An was the division of the Elohim that was, the way they explained it, was translation unit for translating, I won't say the language, I don't know if they communicate in language, but translating what the Elohim wanted to communicate into the language of a particular world. And it was called the Council of An. And in general, when we would talk to them, it would be the Council of An who was communicating. And what we've learned is that on the other side, you know, when you get above the lower vibrations, the lower realms, where you can have negative, you can have demonic, you can have ETs at the higher levels, there are huge groups of consciousnesses that are always looking for opportunities to interface and lift the vibration of the part of the universe that was down in the, how do I say it, the lower vibrations, the dense vibration, the physical realms. And the difference between Ra and the Elohim is the Ra group, because they graduated from this realm, had the experience of being here and being trapped in physicality, and went through hundreds of lifetimes before they got untrapped. And then they teamed up on the other side, and of course, it's been probably growing their team to where, according to our understanding, there's millions of them. And they have a huge amount of wisdom of this realm, of being trapped here, and all the games that are played in physicality, because they had to play them, because they were embodied. The Elohim that we speak to has never been embodied, but they have observed everything. So they have huge wisdom, but their wisdom is vicarious. But it's not the wisdom of being trapped and getting out of the trap. So by them working together, we have the wisdom of the Ra groups when they come through, and the Elohim is more powerful than the Ra group. The Elohim has the ability to send vibrations from their realm into our realm in a way that we can feel them. And some of you may have noticed when I said that, whenever I say it, they usually do it. And there's a little wave of energy that comes through at that moment. That's one of the things I started noticing, that when I talked about them, I wasn't just talking about them. Their energy would become present. And it was like giving them permission to come into the space. And many of you on this call have become very familiar with that energy. So as we ask these questions, they're going to say they're Ra'an, and that I don't know how they negotiate this on the other side. But sometimes we'll ask a question, and they'll say, well, this is Ra. We're going to answer that question. And they separate out at that moment. So in any case, let's get started. Terry, are you ready? No.
I'm never ready.
I know, but you're unmuted and I can hear you, and that's as ready as you'll ever be, right? Okay.
It'll be very interesting to see what happens here, because we're talking to a translation unit, and they think a lot in mathematics, but I don't understand it when they flash formulas to me. I say, hey, mm-hmm. you know, could you put it in something I can comprehend? And
right.
I know that the chemistry and everything of DNA, it looks like quite complex. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what we can, how I can interface with them on this topic.
Mm-hmm. And
they have a lot more capabilities than I do. Like one day they were speaking Turkish to a lady in Turkey.
The Q&A session started. Q&A session is over.
She emailed me the next day. And so they said, hello, Schmidt, you called me by my name. So if I was able to be a better receiver-transmitter, and if I understood more, they want me to learn more words all the time.
Yeah. Terry is not actually a trance channel. There is such a thing as Edgar Cayce was a trance channel. And there are advantages and disadvantages to being a trance channel. A trance channel actually gives up themselves to the source, and the source uses them and their vocal cords to be very precise in what they want to communicate. And the advantage of it, of course, is it's very precise. And in Edgar Cayce's case, he was very precise about everything he said. The disadvantage of being a trance channel is you don't have any choice about moderating who's coming through you and what they say. And if you should happen to pick up
a negative source, it's going to do its thing, and you don't have any control. So Terry oftentimes, especially early on in the old days, he would say, wait a moment, and she would hear what they wanted to say.
We have a big argument, Rudy, but they go, it's this way, and I go, no, I don't think so. I think it must be some other way, you know, and they say, no, no, it's this way. And if they said it three times, I'd go ahead and say it.
Right. But now she kind of trusts them, and
yeah.
she feels their frequency. So
yeah.
when they come through, she knows it's them, okay?
Right, yeah, and, it's like...
And I've learned to trust them. So let's get started, all right? We do this little invocation to clear the space.
Okay.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry and myself and everyone on this line. And any negativity, be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxy, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those forces that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protective space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and do we have our sources first?
Yes, we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. Terry always experiences when you are doing the invocation a slowing down of time. That is us coming in, because for us, time goes very fast. However, as we listen to the invocation, it gets longer and longer as she is tuning in to our frequency where time is going very fast, and it seems like the invocation is going on and on. That is one thing that we notice when we first come in. We welcome everybody on the line. It is delightful to see you here. Terry has very little vocabulary in the way of DNA, so we take it back to the basics of, like, 101 DNA to be able to explain in terms that Terry can interface with us on. If we were able, we could back it up, but we maintain Terry as one of our invisible crew here, and we ask if you have questions.
Well, just to launch the topic, the first time we discussed sex, we got into this amoeba, and we had a great session where you were talking about how the amoeba was the first life form, and how you were working with coding. You used the word coding to change some of the parameters of an amoeba so that it could have attraction, and it could have delight in being in proximity to another amoeba. And that delight became the beginning of sex. Okay? And then from the amoeba, life became more and more sophisticated till we had animals and men, but also plant life has DNA. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. We have put forth that life is everywhere. We are the housing, the format to bring it forth, to focus it out of the void, or you might say out of the plasma field. Once you have an energy that is spinning, that then focuses the awareness of all that is and brings it in to the manifest realm, then you have the beginning of a life form.
Mm-hmm. Now, prior to the amoeba, were there plants?
We see that there were chemical, you might call them chemical housing that were established from spinning mechanism.
Mm-hmm. And was there DNA prior to an amoeba?
DNA was developed based upon special circumstances that the spinning complexity wound the and formatted the molecular structure into a larger structure that took into account the spinningness of the molecules, and they were attracted to each other based upon their uniform spin. This gave them the context of certain chemicals based upon the nature of the spin. Biologically, entities, even consciousnesses of the rocks, of the trees, of all that is, are experiencing a focusing within the ways that the molecules are coming together and forming long chain molecular structures that then become housing, biological housing. You can have light where there is sand, where there is simply the there is simply a focusing so that you can have a purified environment and you end up with a life form in the middle of it that people don't think should be there because it is brought into a sterile environment but yet you have five children.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to follow all that. I'm still getting it together. The Elohim describes himself as their job, one of their jobs, is to create focusing mechanisms for the energy of the universe. And a focusing mechanism was us, or all the things that are before us, where there was...
Any spinning begins to focus from the plasma field. It begins to focus light, form, and awareness to storm. Although people don't realize this, except perhaps for some of the Indian tribes, they give awareness. Storms have awareness and interact with the surface and with humans, and they have a somewhat will of their own, a developing will, and then begin to interact or begin to disperse and go back into the already.
Mm-hmm. Could you explain from your perspective exactly what DNA is?
Well, there is a definition that has been brought forth by the scientific community, and from our viewpoint, it is the gathering together of long chain molecular housing that then in there's a word, they're merging, that is the wrong word, but in their merging with, they join into a molecular structure, and as such, they then can form a housing that can move into the structure, the manifest structure of a form, and the structure of the form. Depending upon the frequency of the spin, and now beginning to interact with conscious awareness and the environment, creates a structure that houses life.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm just looking up the official definition of DNA.
Yes. Terry does not know.
It's an abbreviation of deoxyribonucleic acid, organic chemical of complex molecular structure that is found in all prokaryotic, whatever that means, in eukaryotic cells, and in many viruses. DNA codes genetic information for the transmission of inherited traits. Now, from my own intuitive understanding of DNA, is like a mini computerized program that carries the code that causes a life form to create itself. In other words, it has a blueprint for a life form, and it has 12 strands, and somehow strands are activated in certain ways, and that in the way that they're activated determines the way consciousness flows into the life form, as well as the physical container of the life form. Am I somewhat on the right track here?
You're reading the definition?
No, that's me. That's making that up. That's me making that up. from all I've read about DNA, how I grasp DNA.
Yes. It is a basic unit of structure that maintains, because of its spinning nature, a stable housing that can then bring in consciousness, which then interacts with the DNA and organizes the structure so that it can build into a viable housing for a life form
. I would assume that at some point in the far distant past, that you were the creators of the first DNA. Is that true?
You already set up the parameters for consciousness to come into the manifest,
mm-hmm.
and set up the spinning codes and rules. Things were set up, and we merely were explorers and seeing what can be brought through.
Mm-hmm. And so, and was the amoeba the first animal life form that had DNA?
It is such progression from one thing to the next that it overlapped in many instances. There were many failures where the being or the amoeba, the body structure did not go anywhere, and so it was not viable, and it did not persist.
So it was experimental in a way. You didn't know what was exactly how it was going to work.
No. we did a lot of exploration, and we were delighted with some of the results that we got. We were explorers in a world that was being built around us.
Mm-hmm. Was, you talked about consciousness coming in to a DNA and programming it. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes. Consciousness began to come in and program to its own purposes the structure that it found itself in.
Mm-hmm. And also, all the vibrations that are around the structure, I believe, also program the DNA. For example, if the consciousness comes in to a given DNA, then, and it becomes a body, and the body is growing up in a certain family, that the vibrations of the family are going to impact the DNA. And the DNA is going to be changing according to everything it picks up. Am I correct?
The ancestry of the beings and the families, the bodies and the families, greatly affect the resulting form that is developed. However, there is such a thing as a light body,
mm-hmm.
where this is a vehicle for a being to travel in before it merges with a physical body. So you have a team, when you have a body, you have a team. And the body...
Are you saying
team,
a T is a...
T-A-M, team.
Or a team.
Yes. You have the molecules, you have the different, the structure that is based upon the genetic heritage. There are certain requirements for nutrition and for maintenance of the body that if they are not provided or sustained within the body does not continue. It is a complex affair to have a human being with a physical body. The life body is a vehicle for travel outside of the physical body, and it is based upon patterns that he has come together and then built and are then continuing to support the being after the death of the physical body. So you have, with a physical body, you have a merging of a light body with the physical body, although it is not necessary for a physical body to have a merging of a light body, but it provides, when the light body is merged with the physical body, a very great opportunity for growth and experience that then goes into the Akashic, into the overall political, not political, but the overall resultant concepts, ideas that come together from all of the collective. And this is a greater influence upon the individual than the individual is aware. If you have a group think that is providing an energy, then one is affected by that energy just by the virtue of being in the field of the energy. For instance, the energy of Black Friday, and everyone wanted to purchase something. The energy pervades, and everyone to some degree is affected, and they probably do not realize how much they are affected by the group think. This works in many ways in influencing human behavior, but it is not realized how much it affects people.
Could we say that DNA is a microcosm for the universe?
You could say it is a microcosm, but not of the only aspect of the universe, not of the whole universe.
In other words, it's a microcosm because there's planetary position, there's galaxy position, there's,
yes,
you know, the individual is positioned in a family, in a neighborhood, in a society, in a country, in a culture. All these things,
yes,
are vibratory fields, and are they all, is the DNA receptive to all those vibratory fields? Most likely it's receptive to the highest degree, to the ones that it's in immediate proximity to. Like the family, like the wife, like, you know, and then the effect gets to be more, less intense as it gets further away from the immediate environment, but it's still all part of the effect. And am I?
There's a collective that picks up a general sense and broadcasts it, and people generally take that to be how they are feeling and informed by the field, but they do not think they are influenced by the field. They think this is their own independent thought.
So where a person chooses to place their body on a moment-to-moment level is impacting the energies that they're taking in.
Yes. Yes. The time of day, the collective, what the collective is thinking, listening to the news, the advertisement, the idea that pharmaceuticals are an answer. Many people think that this is the correct way to do things. And it is very hard to bring them to their own the viewpoint of their own body wisdom that will allow them to heal when they have been so programmed.
Mm-hmm. So, if a person in your conscious mind is on a path that they would like to see as an evolutionary path, in other words, they want to grow, they want to expand, then, in some level, the DNA has to be activated, or the strings of it have to be activated for that expansion to take place. Is that accurate?
As an individual develops in the body form, there are processes that begin and develop that body form that activates the body form to grow in a certain way, to stop growing in a certain way, to trigger processes, mentors with the woman with the body form. This has all been programmed in to the body form, and the individual who is the captain of that being, that complex human form, is in the middle of a huge coordination that they do not realize even, that it takes a great deal of teamwork within the body to bring forth the ultimate and healthy life force.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this is a very complex subject, and as I was listening, I still feel I could go on for hours asking questions, trying to nail down so I can get it on an intuitive level. But our time is running out, and it will be interesting to read a transcript of this call later, see if I can sort more out of it. But I thank you for being here. And we're going to move on to whole planet healing. And anything you'd like to say in closing?
We feel your energy. We see you individually in the audience listening. And we take a moment and everyone.
Thank you very much, and we're going to move on to whole planet healing. If anyone wants to come and join us there.
All callers are unmuted.